following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Greetings, salutations. Hello. Hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee. Episode 314. Yeah. Like that's something to cheer about. Yay, we made it. It's. What else? What are the options? Not do it? I guess that could very well be. It could very well be. It is. It's a Sunday. It is the 16th day of February, date of production for this particular episode. I know some of you grab it the second I pop it out there, which is great. Thank you for doing so. I've got big doings going on this evening. Of course, I'll get into that a little bit later on with the Booze and Blue show. Sunday's a busy day for me. It's busy because there's a lot of balance that's going on. The wife and I are out doing things. We go, we have brunch together. This is our time to spend some time together because we both work so hard during the week. And, we go out, we have a bite to eat. She'll go play some tennis with some friends, and then we'll do a few things together before I unass it and head out to the studio for the show tonight. And she uses that time to catch up on the TV. You know, there's some stuff that she's going to want to watch, you know, which is great. Stuff that I don't necessarily am interested in. And she knows that. So it works out fine. So it's a bit of a balancing act. And for me, you know, we do this show here. After this is produced, I'll do a few other things here before I head on down to the studio and get ready for the show. As I mentioned before, the show tonight, by the way, we have Delta Joe Sanders. Yeah, it's going to be a big show. If you happen to catch this podcast before 8 p.m. Central on Sunday the 16th. Is that right? Yeah, 16th. I may have said 18 earlier. 16th. Sunday the 16th, 8 p.m. tonight, Central Time, radio-memphis.com. Delta Joe Sanders has got a brand new record out, and we're doing a CD release thing, if you will, and we're going to expose it to the masses. The album is called a String of Pearls, I think, is what it is. And we're going to hear it tonight, and we're going to have some fun. He's going to play live. We'll tell some stories. Delta Joe's a great guy. Looking forward to the program that is tonight, 8 p.m. Central. Already got the teas done. How about that? Just, you know, rocking and rolling. We'll be getting into some social media issues here in just a bit. Something from my perspective, for whatever it's worth, there may not be anything for you in it, and I don't know. It's, you know, it's just something that I'm fascinated by not just social media, but our relationship to it, and it's a social studies thing, if you will. Speaking of which, as I mentioned, you know, Sundays are kind of a busy day, as are Saturdays too. Saturdays I do quite a bit with the immigrant. We wound up going to, we needed a few things over at the Home Depot, the big box thing. I'm not a fan of it. I'm a fan. I don't mind doing stuff around the house. That's no big deal. I'm just not a fan of going to the places to get the stuff I need to make that happen. Cause then it just automatically puts me in a funky mood. And, you know, as it does a lot of folk, it's, you know, it's what it is. It's, you're dealing with, humanity. You're dealing with corporate, which is a whole nother animal. And, you know, and it occurred to me, you know, and we've talked a lot about the self-serve checkout thing, but man, more and more of our world is so self-service. It really is. And we've gotten what we needed, and I'll back up here in a little bit about that. But you know, we're standing in line for the checkout thing, and the Home Depot that we frequent is in Midtown where we live, and it's close. It's not 100% style store. They don't have everything, but they've got the stuff you're going to need for by and large. And we're standing there in the checkout, which is now pretty much all automated, minus like one or two registers, right? And so we're standing in line over there. I didn't realize that there was actually a couple of clerks working a register. And this lady, she was very nice, lovely lady. She goes, hey, I can check y'all out over here. So we get our stuff and we go on over there, and she's just, you know, all this other stuff. And my wife says, wow, I was kind of surprised to see that you had an open register here, that there's actually a clerk working. And she said, She goes, she was clearly some sort of management type in there, but she said, yeah, I wish I had more people here. Now, that's, I don't know if this is she's looking for somebody or people, or she wishes that she could have that because they've cut back so much. It could be a number of things, you see. A lot of issues that come up in that. And I said, yeah, this is the go back part here. I said, yeah, because one of the things that we needed to get was, what do you call it? Air conditioner filters. Turns out the immigrant's allergic to the cat. Oops. So we need one of the things that you can do to mitigate that is to step up your air conditioner filter game by getting, you know, they make some that will help filter out a lot of that stuff, which helps. They're expensive, but it helps. So at any rate, I like a responsible human being, I kept the measurements of the air filter that I need under the notes app in my phone. So I know that it's there. And so we get to the aisle that has the filters, you see. And ours is a fairly common size, I guess. It's 16 by 25 or so. Anyway, my unit uses two of them, you see. It's the way that the thing was designed. So I said, well, okay, let's go ahead and get like four of them, and that'll carry, because they're 90-day filters. That'll be good. That's 6 months right there. We don't have to fool with this thing, and we've got them, and that's the way we go. So we found the one we wanted. We found the right kind of filter for, you know, pet dander and all of that stuff, and found it in the right size, which is kind of great and groovy, until there was only like three of them. And it was on the bottom shelf too, which didn't bode well. So I pulled the ones that were out of there, and it leaves this empty box that those things sit in, right? You know, for the display purpose. So I said, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, I bet if they're stocking correctly, they will have another box right behind it. And boy, was I right. So I pulled out the box, I put it in the aisle, and to get to the box was way in the back. I had to like lay on the floor and then kind of crawl into the shelving unit. And of course I'm sitting there thinking, you know, here in a little while, I'm going to wind up having to check myself out too. Plus I have to kind of do a little bit of stock maintenance. Back. Man, I should be like employee of the month. Y'all should pay me. I told this to the lady, and she goes, I'm sorry. She goes, we're just, you know, we're shorthanded. Not that there's anything they can do about it, but that's just kind of how that goes. So at any rate, we did that. And you know, it's like I said, it's become a little bit more self-service world. And, you know, I could sit here and complain about it, but first of all, it's not going to do any good. Second of all, as the more we get used to this sort of thing, it'll be, I don't know, maybe a blessing in disguise. I don't know. Don't know what to say. You know, jury's still out. Okay, boomer. Yeah, well, whatever. I'm not a boomer, by God. No, I missed all that. So there you go. All right, kids, look, we'll pause. We'll get into it here in just a bit. We're going to have a look at the world of the meme. It's all coming up next. You're listening to it right here from Radioland. Don't go away. Bartlett Performing Arts Center presents singer-songwriter Sean Mullins, Saturday, February 22nd. Songs include the number one hit, Lullaby. Enjoy the music of Sean Mullins at the intimate Bartlett Performing Arts Center. Tickets at 901-385-5588 or online at bpacc.org. Anybody who spends any time surfing through their Facebook feed, if you will, scrolling, as it were, you don't really surf it, you scroll it. I have mine up right now. I don't look at it that often, but when I do, I see some interesting things. Hardly any of it's all that amusing. But man, there's a lot of attempts at really bad humor that's there. Well, no, it's bad humor. The attempt has been made to be humorous, but that's just kind of what that is. And then there's a lot of I don't know. There's the self-affirmation thing, which is a thing. People feel bad about themselves. So I guess in order to make themselves feel better about themselves, they put out the, here's one. You didn't have to go far. Let's stop taking people's absence so personal. Sometimes what they are going through requires isolation. It's not even about you. All right. Now, why would this individual post this? You wonder. I mean, are they trying to be helpful? In a way, they are, believe it or not. They're trying to be helpful to themselves. That's kind of what this is. You wonder what all that's about. A lot of it is, of course, trying to get a grip on their own personality, their own thing. And they're, in a way, they're airing out their laundry in social media, which I've never been a fan of. I don't know that that's always a good thing. It's never a good thing. What's it gonna do for you, right? The only other type of meme that you see a lot of, aside from the self-affirmation and the really attempts at horrible humor, political. Political memes are, wow, political memes carry a lot of, surprisingly a lot of weight. And I think that's because they're targeting a like-minded group. It doesn't matter Republican or Democrat, or it really doesn't. It's just somebody will put out something that is intentionally inflammatory to invoke that fear that we speak about. And when they hit that person that agrees with them, then it spreads and then off it goes. And what I have seen, at least over time, that a lot of these political memes, they're rooted in a fallacy. They are rooted in a world. It's a fantasy that's just not real. There's nothing to it. And as they are trying to derive that fear, you know, that I'm just sitting here just looking at one that just popped up here about Save America from Socialism. I mean, it's, and there's no engagement with these posts. I don't think I have ever really seen any. You'll see like one or two people go, "Hey man, I'm going to steal this. I'm going to use this." There is that. I don't know how healthy that really is either, and what point that serves, because we've gone from legitimate news sources to the use of memes, which were initially derived as a way to have some humor at a particular situation, or like the old common ground thing. It's like, oh, the picture of the cat with the hair all jacked up. He's an ugly cat, and he's got, you know, his eyes are wonky and all the stuff. And it says, oh God, here's Monday again. You know, something cutesy like that. And they go, oh, that's so wonderful. I hate Monday too. If you hate Mondays, you hate your job. This is the way that ball bounces. Nevertheless, it is this common ground. The people that tell the dirty little, you know, the little outhouse jokes, as we used to call them. You know, they're supposed to be cute and clever about, you know, Meemaw and Peepaw and all that other stuff. And it's, I get it. It's not necessarily, you know, funny, but to them it is, and they get a little giggle out of it. You know, when I was working with Bad Dog, he was a sucker for that stuff. He loved that stuff, and we he would tell these hokey jokes on the air, and you know, he giggled at it because that, you know, he knew that his audience were those people that really would derive a lot of humor out of that kind of stuff. Not that there's anything that wrong with it, but there are so many people who have turned such a jaundiced eye to everything that we've all become somewhat immune to it. We become immune to the silliness and the idea. We're all taking shit way too seriously, way too seriously. Even the production of the meme itself becomes a little too serious for its own good. And that's not very wise. It really isn't, because that's just going to cause, it's going to cause confusion. And when you see this stuff mixed in with everything else that goes with it, it's like, okay, somebody, it's like the people that really want to try and put forth a very deep thought, well constructed phrase or meme, and there's typos in it. It's like, come on. how are you doing this? And the mass confusion about
Their.
Can we work this? You know, let's. And you know, the difference between the word breathe and breath. Let's learn this stuff, people. No one's going to take this stuff seriously. Well, I bring this up because Mike Bloomberg, who's running for president right now on the Democratic ticket, he runs all the time. He's an interesting cat, but I guess in the effort to come across as hip, or to come across as trying to, well, actually he's reaching well beyond his demo to try and get the younger voters, which is going to be kind of hard to do, frankly, unless you're somebody like Bernie Sanders, who the kids just dig. But Mike is just, he's a billionaire businessman. That's his deal. And what he and his company are doing, they're actually buying memes. They're purchasing them. And you're going, well, I didn't know they were for sale. They can be. There can be a copyright issue in some of this stuff. We've heard about that before. The kid on the beach who's making the fist and he's got the, you know, hell yeah, I got this thing kind of going on. That little kid, that was a 10, 12 year old meme. The kid's grown up. And the woman that took that picture, which is his mother, and it got turned into this meme. She cashed in on this and got it. There's a copyright thing. There's a guy that's an agent that deals with this sort of stuff. He protects people to make sure that they get their money. That's, you know, there's a lot that goes on with this whole thing. And she got a little put out because the kid meme got picked up by various other people who were using it to their advantage, and she just wasn't going to handle it because she didn't agree with what they were doing. It's not that pervasive, but there's a clearly a market for this sort of thing. So it was being used by some politician. I don't even know who it was. And she didn't like it, so she sued over a meme, you know. The guy that's running this company, I forget who the name of the kid, it doesn't even matter. But this guy also represents, like, internet cats. Remember Grumpy Cat? Grumpy Cat he had an agent, and it's this guy. And Grumpy Cat wound up getting his mug licensed for cat food commercials. I think there was a movie that was going to be made about him or starring him or something like that. I'm not quite sure exactly how that was going to, you know, shake out. But this little cottage industry of the business of memes was a thing. Still is. Because of the power that they wield. Okay? That's the important thing. That's what has to be understood, is that these things do carry a lot of weight. What weight, you ask? Well, people take the stuff that they like, they find cute or funny or agrees with their points of view, and then they share it. And then when it gets, you know, that's where the thing about virility, of having something go viral. You know, I love it when people go, man, I had a post, you know, it's like 10 people picked it up, but it went viral. No, man, 10 million, it goes viral. And there's no formula for it. There's companies out there that try and do it, and they get it out there, and they spread the hell out of it, trying to make it go viral. And most of them don't. Most of these posts, most of these memes, they get out there, they see it. Some people might find it cute. Some it might get a little bit of sharing, and then it stops and it goes away. A good example of the last thing that has gone viral is it's the cute meme of the woman who's angry and is being held back by her friend, and she's pointing an accusatory finger, and on the other side of the panel is the white cat that's sitting at a dinner table with a very angry look on his face, and he's clearly hissing or meowing at something. So there's always text involved in it, and it changes from issue to issue. That thing went around for a long time, and whoever had originally created that, I don't know if they got anything for it or not, probably not. But that's a good example of virility, because it picks up and it runs and it runs and it runs and it runs. Because the lifespan of any post in social media is about 72 hours, especially in Facebook. Facebook is going to get the longest amount. The reason being is the algorithms that handle your newsfeed. If you open up your newsfeed and you refresh it, it's going to show you what it defaults to, a thing called top stories. So those may be several days old. And a lot of people don't bother sorting by most recent. If if Facebook was defaulted to most recent, then the lifespan of a particular post is going to be that much shorter because it's only going to go for so long. So that's one of the reasons why top stories tends to come up the way that it does, because it's feeding you the stuff that it thinks that you are going to be more interested in looking at based upon the things that you've already clicked and liked. You see what I'm saying? And when it comes to memes, that's part of it. So now you got politicians that are just picking it up and they're running with it because they think that a good way to spread the message is through some hokey, goofy meme. And what it comes across as, it's the same thing as like when a corporation tries to be hip and groovy. CBS News, I think it was. They have a Snapchat. Why would a major corporation have a Snapchat account? And second of all, why a news thing? That just seems kind of weird to me. I don't know. I don't use Snapchat. I have a running gag about that. It's like, you know, I'm over 18. I don't use Snapchat. I mean, I know it's a viable thing. I know a lot of kids use it. I know a lot of folks that do use it because it's cute and it's funny and it does. But it also cross posts back over. They always cross post back to Facebook or they hit the Instagram. Always for the gram, you know. And that pushing of those memes becomes a little bit more of a value, which is why Twitter is the way Twitter is. It's, if you notice, it's sort of the dark horse in social media because there's hardly any memes there. You'll see a few, but it's not. It's Facebook without the Facebook, as a friend of mine used to explain to me what Twitter, the way they use. I kind of dig it. I use it as a news source myself because I follow very specific things, which you can do. And you've got it narrowed down. Instagram is cute and hokey and fun, but without a picture, you can't post. So you got to constantly take a picture of something. And that's why you see so many people taking pictures of themselves in some weird spot and all that. And they're going to write some little line and away it goes. Whether it becomes viral or not is neither here nor there. But the power of it is its influencing power, hence the influencer. Which is what this is all about. They're going to write some cute meme of like some, you got some hot girl sitting on a rock at the beach and she's got the meditation pose going, you know, that where you're sitting in the cross-legged position with your hands on the edge of your knees, palm up, and you're touching your middle finger with your thumb. That's not a meditation pose. That's a cartoony look at it is what it is. But they think, oh, here I am in my bliss. I chase my bliss. And it's going out to all these people, these guys that are, these women and these men that are stuck in their cubicle job. They don't like, and they go, oh, look, I wish I could be like that too. And then they become depressed. And then they wonder why that they're drinking more than what they should, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because of the power of the social media influencer, and the way they do it is through the power of the meme. Because they use that as an aspiration. Don't you remember in the 90s, it was a popular thing in a lot of corporate offices to have motivational posters, which is what that self-affirmation shit is all about. This is a motivational poster, a picture of a silhouette of a mountain climber hanging by one hand. And attitude is everything. And it's always a long way up to the top or something dumb. The way I look at it is like, that some bitch ain't smart. He's about to fall off that rock. He's only hanging on by a thread, that which is indicative of the rest of us that work for this fucking corporation because we're all just hanging by our fingertips. Those motivation posters were just silly. And nobody bought into that except for the corporate weasels that ran the company because they were thinking, oh, this will keep my customers. This will keep my customers. This will keep my employees motivated. If you have to keep your employees motivated because of, I don't know what it is that you've got them doing, then y'all are wrong. Something's not right. You want employees that are going to be there to hang out and work and do the job because they like it, not because it's like it's a job. They're not, you know, if they're there for a paycheck, they're just doing what they're told to do. They don't need no attitude adjustment poster hanging in the break room by the coffee pot. They don't need all that, which makes me laugh because at Radio Memphis, in the control room, we have a refrigerator, obviously, and it's a dorm sized fridge. We keep beer and water in there, right? And sitting on top of this at eye level is a coffee pot, and It's the coffee break room area, and it's right there in the control room. Above that is the, you know, just immediately to the left is the door, and above the door is a poster from it was a poster for a film that was shot here in Memphis, and all it is just the title of the film, but it has nothing on it, and it's spray painted in weird colors, and it's a neat poster, and I've got it hanging up in there, and all it says is, "I filmed your death." Which when I, you know, it was given to me by the guys, because the guys that made the film, that produced it and directed it, they gave it to me as sort of a gift, because we had interviewed them and whatnot. They were super fellas. And they said, here, take out this poster. And they gave me some buttons and all this other stuff. And it's cute and it's hilarious in the context that it is. Well, fast forward a couple of years, since that's how long that thing's been sitting there, people come into the studio all the time as a guest or as somebody they're going to be interviewed or they're going to perform, or there's business that's being conducted in there. And as they walk out, and almost all the time they their eyes catch that poster. It's "I filmed your death." And I'll be standing there kind of behind them with my hands on their hips and knowing what's going on. Hands on my hips, not on their hips. That'd be just too awkward. Standing there with hands on my hips, and they turn and they look at me and go, "I filmed your death." And they're pointing up at that, and they're looking at me kind of funny. And I'll point over to where the camera is. I'm just like, yep, we got a camera in here too. So perhaps I just did film your death, you know, the death of your career. That's my idea of a motivational poster, by God. And the point being too, is that if you make fun of this stuff on social media, you are immediately a pariah. It's fascinating. You point out spelling mistakes. Point out some spelling mistakes on a meme, and now you're an animal. You're how dare you? You missed the point. No, the point was made. You're an idiot. That's the point. You know, it's like when you see the meme of a windy road and a car on it, and the text says, "All good things have curves." And then you go and you look at who posted it. It's like, ah, I see. I totally get what you're doing. Yeah, she used to like Little Debbie cakes until she turned into Big Deborah. That's the problem, you see. Oh, my God. But that's what it is. That's what it's kind of turned into, and it'll continue to be on. And, you know, you just look at it and go, "Some people will never like you because your spirit irritates their demons." The fuck does that mean? No, people don't like you because you're an asshole. That's why. See, that's what I would write into something like that. But if I did, then, you know, that's then I'm the animal. Then I'm the one that's, and probably rightfully so.
Get on the Memphis Brew Bus. Every Saturday at 2 p.m., we'll take a 3.5-hour adventure through the Memphis craft brewery scene. The Memphis Brew Bus stops at 3 local breweries for some special behind-the-scenes tours, talks with the master brewers, and, of course, tasting of their signature brews. While on the bus, you'll hear stories and learn about the history of beer. Plus, you'll get some music from the Radio Memphis Library. Go to memphisbrewbus.com and find them on Facebook. The Memphis Brew Bus. We'll drive you to drink.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
It is amusing to see corporate guys battle it out, especially when it plays out in front of the public eye. For example, like we've talked about before with the chicken sandwich thing. Remember that with Popeyes and Chick-fil-A? Who's got the better chicken sandwich, by God? Who cares? It's still pretty, you know, it's mediocre. It's pretty mediocre, no matter who it is. Oh, my friends, there's another one that's coming. Oh, look out now. You've got two restaurants now that are setting up a fight. It's going to play out in the public conscience here, and you're going to dig this. It's a fish sandwich war between McDonald's and Arby's. You know why they're doing it? Because it's nearly Lent. That's why. This is the most oddest thing that would happen, and why corporations do this? Because guys like me will talk about it, and it's good for their business. They're not giving me anything to talk about. I could give a shit, really. I just find it really amusing. Now we're going to get to find out whose fish sandwich is just sort of
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Ryan, you heard what's coming up next time on the program here on this Sunday, 16th of February. I'm told as I'm taping this right now, there's apparently a car race going on. It's the NASCAR. Boy, howdy, did NASCAR just literally drive off the deep end. It's just not. I don't know. They've changed so much of it now. It's not even fun to watch. And apparently Donald Trump showed up, which is, I don't know, that I guess that speaks a lot about the demographics of the people who watch NASCAR, I suppose. But still, apparently they took his limousine, the beast, the Secret Service thing that he rides around in, and they took it out up onto the track. Oh, I'm sure the fans love that. The only other thing I saw about it was, hurry up and get this goddamn race started. That was the takeaway. That we just live in this such a bizarre, strange world that we talk about. There's combinations of words that have formed sentences that have never in the history of humanity has ever been considered. Because it would be one of those, oh, that's just ridiculous. How could you say something like that? Oh, trust me, it becomes, that's, you know, if I were somehow able to get into a time machine and go back in time, I don't know, good 10 years, that'd be a good place to start. And you strike up a conversation with somebody, you're not going to believe what the year 2020 is going to be about. Lord have mercy. Because when I was a little kid in school, man, they always thought, hey, what's the year 2000 going to be like for you? And I'm thinking flying cars. I'm thinking, you know, Star Trek stuff. We're going to be able to, you know, we'll have traveled beyond the reaches of the solar system. We'll have colonized planets. Astronauts will be like a really, that's like a legit, not that it's not legit, but it's like everybody will be doing that. You know, the Enterprise will have happened. You know, there's going to be all of that other stuff. But no. 20 years after the year 2000, we're talking about the stuff that we're talking about now. And it's just, it's fascinating to me. Absolutely fascinating. Go back to the 80s, have a chat with a kid that plays a lot of video games, and walk up to him while he's playing Sonic the Hedgehog and go, do you realize that in the year 2020, they're going to make a movie about this video game, and it will break the record for a video game movie debut? Which is true. I'm looking at the headline right now. It made $68 million over the weekend. It's come to this, ladies and gentlemen. there again, they're going to have their minds blown realizing that there's going to be people like me that are going to be sitting in a room like this talking to you folks about really acerbic dumb things for, you know, 40 minutes. That's just kind of how that goes. Dude, I got to go. You've heard what's coming up next time on the program tonight, 8 p.m. Central, radio-memphis.com. On any device, you can tune in for the booze and the blues tonight. It is Delta Joe Sanders and his new record, Like a String of Pearls, that is happening tonight. It'll be fun. It'll be a big old time. It's live, and it's free. It's always live, and it's going to be for your entertainment purposes as well. So tune in for that amount of fun this evening. We'll see you then. So until next time, please take care of yourselves and take care of one another. And for God's sake, stop shooting each other, okay? I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been from Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.